I'm preaching on Leviticus 26. This Sunday is the start, I believe, of Great Big Green Week. And I understand that's the reason why I've been asked to preach on Leviticus 26. It's the third of the series on fruitfulness. 2 weeks ago, we had Paul preaching on Colossians and the fruitfulness of the individual believer. Last week, we had Moira preaching on the fruit of the Spirit. And this is the fruitfulness at the national level, fruitfulness of the nation of Israel. So it's rather different. I'm talking today to the assembled group here, but also, I understand, through the internet, to anyone who watches throughout the world. So if you're in Sweden or Russia or China or Korea or Japan or the Pacific Islands or New Zealand or Australia or Indonesia or Malaysia or Antarctica or South Africa or Nigeria or Uganda or Libya or Italy, Greece, Europe, or South America, or North America, you are welcome. Leviticus 26, which we read earlier, verses 1 to 13, or rather 3 to 13, gives us a lot of blessings. I've made a list of them. Rains at the appropriate time, good harvests, plenty of food that is satisfying, freedom from fear, from protection from wild animals, protection from enemies, success in overcoming those who come against us, plenty of offspring for animals and humans alike, plenty of resources for the whole year, God dwelling among his people, God loving the people representing God. And lastly, in verse 13, heads held high, that is dignity. What a wonderful, fruitful national life that would be. Who would not want that? I see in this an expression of the love of God for his people, but also for the whole creation. All the animals and plants and the land and the people and the peoples around even. God wanted his creation to work well, and he gave humans the mandate, the responsibility to care. Jill's already mentioned something of that. Thank you, Jill. But verse 14 onwards, we get a different picture. But if you will not listen to me and carry out all these things, and then there's a whole list of things that go wrong, not just up to verse 17, which we read here, but a whole chapter of them. In preparing this, I got a little bit bogged down in the detail until someone pointed out something rather obvious. One thing leads to many blessings. Now, students do many things to gain one thing, a degree. They take many courses, submit many assignments, they pass many exams to get one degree or one set of A-levels. This is the opposite. We do one thing to gain many blessings. But what is that one thing? That one thing, I think, is attitude. It says, if you follow, if you are careful to obey, And in the Hebrew, I understand the being careful to comes before the obeying, as though the obeying comes out of the being careful to. So it's our attitude of being careful to follow the Lord. And that is the one thing that leads to many blessings. It's many blessings if you, that list that I drew out of the passage expresses all aspects of life. There's the biological, there's the animal, there's the human aspects of safety, achievement, even technology perhaps, of love, the social aspect. All those things come together. And that is the blessings that God has given us, or promised, rather, at the national level. So that one thing is attitude. However, verse 14 tells us of a different attitude. If you refuse to follow, if you abhor God's way and his laws, if you reject. Now, God, to the prophet Ezekiel, I think put shape on that negative attitude when he called it affluence, arrogance, and unconcern. And this is where I want my first visual aid. I don't know if we can... Can we see that? No, we can't. Okay, I'll hold it up. No, wait, wait. That way. I'm just looking at trying to look at the Zoom. Affluence, arrogance, and unconcern. That is the reason God destroyed Sodom, and it's the reason God exiled Judah. It's that attitude. And from that attitude came their mistreatment of the poor, and the, quotes, despicable things that they did. So where does this leave us today? Does this apply today? I think Leviticus 26 does, or in this, the people of Israel were before Jesus came, and they were a rural society. We are in the situation where Jesus has come, and it's an industrial and urban society. Do these apply? Well, if we look through history, we can see that wherever a people has responded wholeheartedly to the gospel of Christ, from the lowest to the highest, God has blessed that people. Think of Britain. In the late 1700s, early 1800s, because of the gospel of Christ, the people